God bless the faithful in Jesus' name, the name which is above every other name, of which there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And the Lord would that all men and women everywhere come to him for life, and that more abundantly, in the blessed name of Jesus, which is, of course, the way, the truth, and the life of all creation. This is Brother Ryan speaking once again to you, speaking of words that I did not write, of thoughts that are far above my own, of things that are too wonderful for me, as David once said in Psalms 139, verse 6, when he exclaimed, "It is so very high, I cannot attain unto it, as to the wisdom of the Lord." The good news of the gospel is, however, that the word did come down to us, came down to humanity in a person, that of Christ. And the eternal thoughts that belong to the Almighty are put into scripture and verse for us to partake of. And we can all say amen to that. That part we can all do. And God hasn't asked so very much of us. Just have a true sense of justice, love mercy, walk humbly with God. And having done so, you're not so far from the kingdom. Let's speak on the subject of where could I go in the third part of that as we continue on our devotional time. As we thank the Lord for answers from above, and many people seek answers in this world, but amazingly, many do not, preferring to just live within their own thoughts and ignoring the great evidences of Scripture that are open to us, and those types of thoughts will fail. I'm very struck by the fact of these devotionals, how that the various witnesses are eager to explore the limitless vision of what's written, rather than just rely on social commentaries, political considerations that are driven by economic factors, and so forth. I thank you all for your diligence. And here where I am, there's far too much of those elements that pass away, that get focused upon, and too little word knowledge that is the cure for all ills, as some of those matters are within the Lord's will, who wishes us to be in health and prosper, certainly, but not if they're placed above what has ever been and always will be, just the temporary things of this world. And therein lies the problem. I'm sure that happens in your various countries as well, as people are the same everywhere, more or less, but depending upon what is in the individual hearts that make up the whole. But the Word of God, it's a cure for anything. And to think eternally and prophetically is to rise above it all and to place your treasures in heavenly places. That's our calling, it's our reasonable service, and it's a reward as well. So for scripture reference, let's turn to St. John chapter 6. The verses will be 66 through 69. As this reference comes on the heels of Jesus proclaiming of himself to be more than just a man, more than just a good man, more than just a disciple, more than just a prophet, the words that he spoke were spirit and they were literally life. Life is in the words, the expressions of faith that have ever been, and that's who God is. Living, expressive truth of pure thought and wisdom. Wisdom that exists of itself, out of necessity. And that wisdom must be able to express itself, which it did. When God said, "Let there be light," and then there was light, and then God saw that it was good. Wisdom was there, out of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 30. Wisdom was there continually, daily his delight, before there ever were the high mountains or the low valleys or the fountains abounding with waters. And wisdom does indeed cry out at the gates, desiring to be heard. And that call is extended out to us to hear that which is never beginning and has never ending qualities, set up from everlasting to everlasting. Now that is a lot to take in, the depth and the riches of the glory of God, but in Christ we can do all things. And Jesus found ways to teach us his wisdom, as Jesus taught the wisdom of the ages in comparatively short story form that we know as parables. That's very much part of the thought process of the Almighty God, to put things in ways that we can understand infinite thoughts. As even the very deepest mysteries of the Holy One of Israel have foundations in their revelatory symbol language that speaks to us who believe, but keeps out those who consider all these matters to be foolishness. What the world considers foolishness, well, to us it's the power of God. So from the standpoint of speaking as one who had great authority, doing the work that Jesus proclaimed himself to be sent of the Father to do, and plainly saying, I am the bread of life, I'm the bread come down from heaven. Following that, that brings us to this incident at St. John chapter 6, and from the verse which is 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the moment and the scripture that one comes to in asking the question of, where could I go? Peter himself asks that right here. When things seem to be at their lowest point, from the early momentum that now seemed to be decreasing, and the apostles and even Jesus himself was dealing with disappointments. And it was disappointing. It had to be. It shows here in the scriptures. Think of just the psychological toll it would have taken upon the 12 to see so many of their fellow disciples and fellow servants turn away from Jesus, men that had witnessed and traveled and shared the good news. It makes you wonder how we would have done if we were born in that time period and were under those same circumstances. And we should ask that question out of a spirit of humbleness, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted to depart from the faith once delivered to the saints. But just because there are counterfeits in the world shouldn't discourage us from the truth. And some of those who departed, maybe they weren't necessarily of an evil heart. Some no doubt were. And one that stayed with the apostles was, which was Judas Iscariot. But at the least, they did fail to perceive that the time of the Messiah messenger was here, and their day of decision was right now. And I know that none of us want to believe that we would have ever turned away under those circumstances. But whatever we would have done in that day, under those conditions, with the knowledge available and at hand, right now is our time to be faithful and believe, to treat one another honestly. Faith has to have its perfect work. It has to have itself to be found within the Father's will, both then and now. And faith must arise above adversity. It must triumph over the bitterness of disappointments. There's no question that the human side of Jesus, and the divine for that matter, was greatly affected by the departing of many followers. He felt that on the same level as we would in our own experience. Jesus came to be in our shoes, to feel as we do, to know what it is to pray for deliverance, to look above for answers. From the very beginning in Genesis 1:1 to the Revelation chapter 22, verse 21 ending, it was ordained of him to bruise the serpent's head, born out of the seed of the woman of Genesis 3:15. And from the Alpha to Omega of the scriptures, the plan is so beautiful in its designs. It's so magnificent in its righteousness. I pray that some of that comes across even as I speak of it. But the Word of God must, of course, speak for itself. But given that Genesis 3:15, and the promise was there to bruise the serpent's head, there would also be the bruises upon the heel, as spoken in that instance, the setbacks that you had to soldier through to reach the overcomer's portion and to establish holiness. And Peter got that point. Where or to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And that's always the central point of all scriptures, doctrinal, historic, or prophetic. Life is in there from the one who was and is to come. As God lives in all three elements of time, past, present, and future, God defines himself in threes. He is always one, but he defines himself in threes. And the Bible is basically divided into three parts, if you look at it this way. It's roughly one-third the historic scriptures, such as Kings and Chronicles and so forth, that represent that which was. And then the doctrinal verses, just like the Ten Commandments or the epistle letters of the New Testament, stand for that which is. And the prophetic books, like Daniel, like Revelation, stand for that which is to come. All three aspects of one sovereign Lord are found in the way that the Bible is composed. Now, where else can you go to find such wisdom, such grace, such help in time of need? Where else can you find the wisdom that ever was, is now, and always will be? Only the Bible delivers those blessings to us. And from Psalms 138, this is the psalm of, "Thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name," or in other words, what you have written, said, and promised. Excuse me. It's even better than what is commonly believed. It's even better than your reputation, your name and sense of reputation. God is greater than we even think. So when it comes to the gospel, think big, because we serve a mighty big God. And from Psalms 138, and this will be from the sixth verse. "Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands." What a plea to finish out the psalm. It's a plea to be remembered. And God has not forgotten even one of these scriptures. He knows how to live them out and did so in Christ. Being that faith without works is dead, because it's alone, and Christ was God's work that made faith to come alive in human form, we see here revival of the highest order. For the promise is, "Thou wilt revive me." What do we need in the face of many disappointments? We need revival. Renewal of that first love within us. That which had begun to dim a bit, remember in the Ephesus Age message that Paul was sent to in Revelation 2:4. We need to be renewed. And God gave us the highest form of revival there is by the power of the resurrection. To win the ultimate victory, he paid the highest price. He defeated the greatest foe by the power of the third day, which is written in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2. Now, if we could have been there upon that day, as the witnesses, some of the female disciples, John was there, was anything more sorrowful than the crucifixion? How terrible that had to have looked. Just on such a darkness of the day and in such terrible agony. And from all appearances, it looked like everything was lost. But then the light of the third day dawned, and it all looked different then. It looked different with an empty tomb and a stone rolled away, as God did not forsake the work of his own hands. He died for us that we might live and be revived. In so doing, he fulfilled the divine potential within in order to show love unsurpassed. For Jesus himself said, "Greater love has no man that he should give up or lay down his life for another." How could an eternal, infinite, divine, deathless being experience a higher love such as that? God found a way in Christ and was able to take up his life again, and that's the miracle that assures our salvation. So thank the Lord this day for his redeeming power. Keep the faith, brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name. The Lord be with you in all your prayers.